Hi guys, JJ here. Welcome to Stories by JJ.com's Open Mic Podcast, a show for writers developing their craft and sharing it too. I'm JJ, author of an upcoming Kindle Vela series called The Star Strike. I'm just starting my publishing journey and discussing it to help you guys as much as possible along the way. I'll be examining the writing experience, publishing experience, offering helpful tips, and sharing my blog interviews with authors who are already doing it so we can learn together. Open Mic will include author readings, and hopefully readings from our audience soon if you guys are interested. If you'd like to share excerpts of your stories or books, please visit storiesbyjj.com/openmic. That's all for now. Let's get on with the show. Hi guys, JJ here. Welcome to Open Mic's first episode. At the time of this recording, it's October, and I've been busy little bee, just creating this reader and writer experience for the podcast and blog, while also working on my dystopian fantasy series, The Star Strike, getting ready to launch. And it's been quite an experience. And just so you guys know a little bit about me, I have a background in graphic design and marketing, and also hold a master's in English with a focus in creative writing. And I'm currently getting ready to self-publish. So this is going to be, you know, exciting time for me. And I'm hoping to share this experience with you in order to help you guys get that final push to get your work out there, because I'm a firm believer that everybody has an audience out there. Just quick updates on storiesbyjj.com. It's been a learning curve, and since I want to talk to you guys about my experience, I've been just creating the WordPress website, getting back into social media after I took a little hiatus there. And you know, it's almost been overwhelming, but I just want to advise all new authors just trying to get themselves out there that it may be overwhelming as an author, especially if you're more introverted, but just trust that there's plenty of writers groups out there, support chains, and resources that you can go into to get more familiar with everything. And my biggest point of advice and getting started is that social media becomes part of your platform and something that you need to do every day to connect with your readers. It's maybe not every day. Everyone has their own way of doing things, but it's going to be a part of your career as a writer. So find a way to make it comfortable for you. Work on your strengths. This podcast was part of me working out my strengths and learning what doesn't and does work for me. And I'm still learning, you know, it's an ever evolving beast. Social media and content development. We'll talk more about that perhaps in another episode, but I just wanted to give you guys, you know, a quick update on the website. You can check it out at storiesbyjj.com. I have links to my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and even TikTok and my Media Digest post, if you guys want to check that out. I guess earlier this month, I was created this article called Destroying Creatures. And that is basically what this episode is really going to be about. It's going to be about the fear of self-publishing, of putting your work out there. And there are many aspects to this fear of self-publishing. And one of the biggest ones that comes up, though, is when you have to publish a book without an editor, or you can't afford to hire one, or you don't know how to self-edit your own work. And, you know, I understand this fear, and I love studying editing techniques and theories and principles, but I still go nuts in my mind worrying about what happens if I miss a typo or a continuity, or, you know, I get these crazy reviews about how it's horrible and how could I miss that? I mean, would it help if I told you that lots of people have self-published without the support of an editor or publishing houses? You know, would it help if I told you that the people at publishing houses are just like you and me? People. Ever notice a typo in a published book or the many bloopers in movies? I'm sure you have. I have. And, you know, I had to take editing and my English degree, and understanding all these principles did help conquer this fear of not being able to afford to go in and hire an editor and spend thousands of dollars. If you can, that's great, and you definitely do it. But if you can't, what are your options? You don't want to give up on your goals or your dreams, or risk having a nice reader base that loves your work. So what do we do about this fear? It's really just about educating yourself and doing the best you can bit by bit. and understanding principles, developing a support group. So right now we're going to go into some of those steps, and I can't tell you what's the perfect editing process for you. The truth is nobody can. This is a creative field. For all I know, you could be a prodigy. You could have a fan base. You could write in a niche that's in very high demand in this country or in other countries. You know, if you go wide and put your stories out there at different areas. But I can talk to you about my process. I'll give you some other tips and other stories that I've heard of the very interesting ways that people self-edit. Even if you're going to try to get an agent or take it to a publishing house, you still need to self-edit before you submit it. It has to be in as mint condition as you can make it. Okay, so let's get into that now. Step one, understanding editing. If this were a job that you were going for training, you would have to understand what are the editing principles. It's not just what's genre, what's plot, defining all these different writing terms. It's understanding the principles like continuity, showing and telling. What does that mean? How do you spot it in your writing? And this is where reading or listening to audiobooks, YouTube channels that also discuss this are going to be super helpful in this process. If you're looking at a bookstore, you can look at self-editing for writers or editing or the principles of editing. It's not so much on grammar and punctuation or, you know, well, perhaps some stylistics and like writing with style. That's going to get more into what's called line editing. And once you become familiar with this, we are going to talk about these principles on the podcast, but it will definitely help you as you look at your work. And if you do hire an editor, it's also going to make your relationship with your editor better because you'll know what to expect from them. And you'll also know what they're seeing when they look at your work. And it can help you form an opinion. Remember, you're the writer. So editors can't tell you exactly what's the best approach because it's your story. And the more familiar you are with these concepts, the better judgment you're going to make when you decide to keep something in or take something out. It'll only make you stronger as a creator and, you know, as a storyteller. Number two, write, then edit. This is a tough one for me. I always just go into these creative frenzies, and I'm sure other writers do, where we write, and then we come back to like 100 and something pages to edit, you know, or 50 or something. Either way, it's super intimidating. So how do a lot of professionals tackle this? They write one day, and then the next day they edit what they wrote the day before, and then they continue writing. And this is tricky to do if you're like me, and I know a lot of writers, you know, have to, you know, get into this mode, but it's a great idea, and it's definitely something even I'm working towards to make the editing process smoother. So when I get to the finished draft or the end of the story, there's not as much cleanup to do, and you can focus on just the themes of the story or to make sure the story and the characters make sense. And you'll probably still have editing, you know, more runs to do in that, but it does make it less intimidating when you're at that stage. Number three, look at your work in different mediums. Okay, this could be whether you use a typewriter, your laptop, look at it again on your cell phone. If you want to export it to a PDF and you want to look at it on a tablet, let's see what else we can do. We can handwrite, print it out. And what this does is seeing it in different mediums, or even I just started using a narration app called Edit Out Loud. And what it does is it reads it back to me, and then I start catching things, right? So I have like multiple steps with editing and multiple runs and seeing it on different screens. You ever, you know, you're looking at something, you're working on it, and then you print it out and you see a typo that you just didn't see before. We can go back to high school days when we're writing essays. And then when we're about to hand it into the teacher, we realize we had a couple of typos in there that for some reason we just didn't catch. This is why I say see it in multiple mediums, as many as possible, whatever you respond to the most. And it could be normal. You can experiment with this as you're trying to find your editing style. Number four, step away from your work. Don't forget to do this. if we sit there, it's almost going back to step number three and seeing your work in multiple mediums, the art of, or the act, I should say, of actually printing it or hearing it narration is almost like you're stepping away for a bit, then you're coming back to it. But you can step away a little longer. It can be a week or a few days. I have been known to practically run away from my work sometimes, especially when scenes are getting very intense or it's making me sad. And this is really just to process the story. And this really helps with what's called developmental editing, when you're just thinking not so much about the words and grammar and whether things are understood, but more about the themes, the plot. Does the story make sense? This helps when you step away. It's you're reflecting on what you're writing. Okay, and then you're going to come back to it. And sometimes just even if you're not thinking about the whole story, maybe it is more about punctuation or grammar, or if a dialogue makes sense. Sometimes you catch things. So don't be afraid to do this. There was one historical author, I'm sorry, I apologize, forget his name, but he, you know, some writers, they used to just write one sentence a day. Can you imagine that? But what he was doing was actually stepping away from his work, really, or one page a day. So everyone has their own way of making this work for them. Step five, and it should be maybe obvious, but read it out loud. Don't just read it out loud in your head, because we have this magic ability to fill in words or to not see mistakes, but read it out loud to yourself. You can even record yourself reading. And do this in an animated way, as if you were creating your own Audible book or a book for audiophile. And this definitely works wonders, and it goes back to hearing it in multiple mediums. Step six is to edit it line by line. A good editor will look at a piece and really just go in sentence by sentence, line by line. But I'm going to add to this and say, do it backwards. When you're really in those tight phases where you're really trying to check grammar, make sure you didn't miss anything, pick up a chapter and read it backwards, line by line, and you are sure to catch any mistakes. All right, guys, so that concludes our steps to self-editing. And now these are just practical techniques. We haven't gone into the principles of editing, which you will on later podcast episodes, but let's move on to our first interview and open mic segment. For my first interview on storiesbyjj.com, I got to interview Jen Lessman on her Kindle Vela series, Cake the Curse. It's a paranormal coming of age for fans of magic and mystery, and her upcoming series, Sixes, which I know she's actually working on the sequel during this year's NaNoWriMo, so I'm sure she's going to be busy at that. But I loved how she described, like, you know, for so many of us, during COVID or when we all had to quarantine, she was able to write for 3 or 4 hours or to write whenever she got a chance to. And now she sticks to a schedule, basically working until she hits her word count goal, which is definitely in relation to this episode with self-editing. It's also, you know, an important to note that, you know, you write on the schedule once you get to that point, and then you edit on the schedule and you try to stick to it. That can also go down as another step there. So another thing with Jen that I loved is that she, with Kate the Cursed, which you guys can check out, is a completed series. She framed it all through Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. The hero's journey, Joseph Campbell based it on mythology, and how in those myths, the hero is, you know, usually sprung into action or goes on a quest or journey of some kind. And the point is that the character goes through some type of transformation. So, you know, that was pretty cool. And it's something definitely we could talk about with plot structures and things like that. So definitely check out Kate the Cursed and Jen Lessman's links. She also has a Facebook for Kate Corey's Unmagical Life that you can check out, and her author page, FarmersDaughterArts.com. That's Farmers, F-A-R-M-E-R-S, DaughterArts.com. And all these links will be available on StoriesByJJ.com interview with Jen Lessman. So you can link to her author website, her Facebook page, and of course, the Kindle Vela, Kate the Cursed. Up on Open Mic is her new Kindovella Sixes that launched on October 21st. She actually wrote this one with stories that are very self-contained, like in a TV series. So it'll have 13 episodes. It's a dark academia dramedy. I love that. And in Jen's own words, America's oldest colleges are home to some not-so-secret societies. When six freshmen join one that specializes in the supernatural, it's up to them to protect their classmates from the things that go bump in the night. Can they keep everyone safe while watching their grades, avoiding the freshman 15, and competing with rivals who don't even know they exist? Who'll know if they fail? Who watches the watchers? She'll be reading an excerpt from episode 3. The Sixes get a mysterious invitation to a haunted house, but they're not sure why they're there. Here's author Jen Lessman on Open Mic.
The Sixes, who have barely started calling themselves by that name, wander separately down Dog Street and duck behind the courthouse one at a time. They cross the field and slip along the side of the Peyton Randolph house. They meet under a tree in the courtyard. Blair sees him first. The little boy is perched on a branch above them, swinging his legs. The leaves rustle around him as the bough bends. In her head, Blair hears, "The cradle will fall and down will come, baby. Watch out," she cries. She's too late by centuries. The tree cracks. The branch falls, narrowly missing Cabell, who covers their head and ducks as it crashes to the ground. When Blair looks back up at the tree, there's no one there. "What the," says Cabell. "Are you okay?" Michelle asks. Cabell is looking at the branch on the ground. "Yeah, I'm good." They pull out a cigarette, and for a second, the lighter casts a warm glow on the group. "So that was," Taylor starts.
"The wind," says Micah. "Why is it always about to storm when we get one of these?"
"It can't always be the wind," Michelle says.
"What else could it be?" asks Annie,
although she already knows the answer. She heard the children laughing in the house when she first arrived.
"Not the wind," says Blair.
They all look at her for a moment. "What are we supposed to be doing here anyway?" says Micah, "besides possibly getting struck by lightning or brained by a fallen branch."
"Well, it's Six's business," says Cabell, "so there'll be something weird at the very least."
They take a drag on their cigarette. Couldn't have been tapped by the Sevens or the 13 Club.
I got to interview Dale E. Lehman on his Kindovella, The Belt. He also talks about his upcoming books, Penitence and Rooftop Sonata. But The Belt, I did get to preview on Vela, and it really just reminded me like I was jumping into an action movie. It was a really great read. You guys should check it out. Dale is a member of the Alliance of Independent Authors. He's written several books and has been reviewed by the Midwest Book Review, so really glad to have him on the show. And he is later going to be doing his open mic. But during the interview, I like to highlight some of my favorite parts from these authors. You guys can check it out on the blog, storiesbyjj.com. But he talks about how he tries to make each episode self-contained in The Belt, specifically, and the different issues they face. They address them as best they can, but he, quote, "Of course they never get out of the fire. There's always one more issue, one more mystery, and one more complication." I love that, and it's something in his genre of writing suspense and thrillers is very important, but as you're writing fiction and keeping the characters going along, I feel like it's really important to keep in mind in all genres. Really, so I want to point that out to you guys there. You can find Dale on his author website, daleelehman.com. That's Lehman, L-E-H-M-A-N, as in Nancy.com. He actually has a special where you can get a free ebook and short story of his. So guys, definitely check that out. He also has his Facebook, Twitter, Goodreads, and an Amazon author profile. All the links are available on our interview on the website. So please check that out to connect with Dale. Now here's Dale reading a short clip for our open mic session from his recent novel, Weasel Words, which is a humorous crime novel starring Bernard and Melody Earls.
Long ago, Bernard had pondered life as a philosopher. What a great way to make a living, his youthful self had mused, spending one's days sitting around lost in thought. Alas, when he announced his intended profession, his father became lost in some thought of his own, calculated the cost of elevating young Bernard to PhD level, and published his conclusion. Get a job. Not long after, working retail at an electronics store in the mall, Bernard found himself thinking again. Performing a calculation his father no doubt had never remotely pondered, he realized he could secure a far better income liberating merchandise from its bondage to the materialist establishment than by serving said establishment. Thus began a series of experiments along those lines, at first not entirely successful, but increasingly very much so. Think of it as on-the-job training.
A big thank you to both authors for being on the show, and I just wanted to thank you guys so much for listening to my very first podcast episode for storiesbyjj.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show or the website for the latest episode updates, and if you want to be on Open Mic, please visit the Open Mic page or Seeking Authors page if you have a published work as well. If you'd like to support this show and get some perks from me, please visit the Story Lovers page and sign up to my Patreon. You'll be offered 3 sign-up options that equally help keep this going. Thank you for listening again, and if you are participating in NaNoWriMo, happy writing.